Available now in graphic audio.
The Reapers have come to Earth to establish a new order. They rule the planet. They thrive on the scent of fear. And if it is night, as sure as darkness, they will come.
You fight them, right? The Kurians, the Reapers, the things they make?
Well, not all at once, son. In fact, we spend more time running scared from them than we do standing and fighting. We can hit them here and there where we don't stand too much of a chance of getting hit back. When we're not doing that, we're trying to keep from starving. Ever drunk water out of a hoof print to wash down a couple handfuls of ground-up ants? Slept outside in the rain without even a tent? Worn the same shirt for a month straight? Really stinks, son. And I don't just mean the shirt.
I'd like to join up, sir.
I knew you could talk him into it.
Those are grogs.
They must have got wind of us last night. Not sure how many of us there are, so they're going back to report. Take a look at this freak show, Valentine. Those legworms are fun to stop, too. Brain is at the tail end, kind of like Finner here. Nothing up front but a mouth and some taste buds, I guess. Also, like Finner here, come to think of it.
We try to pick off the riders, but the lead one always has a big riot shield, thick as tank armor. One thing you do not want to ever see is about 50 of them coming at you in line abreast.
That happened at the Battle of Cedar Hill. We lost.
Ever ready. The very top of that hill. Maybe by that big windfall trunk. I think something's up there.
David, I think you're right. It's up there, but not moving. A Reaper. Hard ears, boys. This is a sound you need to know.
Madre de Dios!
Five. One for each of us. Hope that's luck, not planning.
Drop him!
No! Wait! No! Don't let him! Don't shoot!
You might as well shoot, foodlings. You'll all three be dead as soon as I take you.
Oh, God! Let me go! Val! Get it off me! Get it off me!
You got one thing right, foodling. I am a god.
Sorry, Gil. Hope you do the same for me.
Vampire Earth, Book 1, Way of the Wolf, Part 1. Available now in graphic audio.
Graphic audio. A movie in your mind.
Graphic Audio presents the Night Angel Trilogy, Beyond the Shadows Part 2, created by Brent Weeks, narrated by Dylan Lynch, with performances by Eric Messner, David Coyne, Tony Penny, Andy Clements, Michael Glenn, Mort Shelby, Tim Getman, Colleen Delaney, Ren Casey, Laura Quinn Anderson, Elizabeth Jernigan, Yasmin Toison, Richard Rowan, Nanette Savard, Ken Jackson, James Konacek, Lily Beacon, Joe Brack, Casey Platt, Christopher Graybill, Terrence Azelford, James Lewis, Scott McCormick, Dylan Lynch, and Johann Detweiler. Beyond the Shadows, Part 2.
Kyler opened his eyes in darkness. His whole body ached, but he knew where he was instantly. Nothing else had the sewage and rotten egg smell of the maw. He wouldn't have been surprised to find himself in the hole, or dead. He was glad they hadn't killed him. It would be better for Logan if there was a trial first.
I must have been twice your age when I killed my first queen.
course I didn't make such a damn mess of it.
Durzo?
Kata sat up, but the man squatting on his heels across from him was unfamiliar.
I'm going by Devi now.
Devi Rahaman Kobru Mezi Wakazari, I have the honor to be.
They used to call me the Ghost of the Steps, or a breath in the typhoon.
Durzo? Is that an illusion?
Call it advanced body magic. It was one of the things I was going to teach you if you hadn't developed your talents so damn slow. We've only got a few minutes. All the guards down here are honest, if you can believe it. And your trial's going on as we speak.
Already?
Your pal, the king, seems to have high esteem for your powers. Almost accurately high. They drugged you. You've been unconscious for a week.
Logan's the king?
Without opposition. He and Duke Wetterose are presiding over the trial. It's too bad you're missing it. You'd be amazed at what Guinevere can get witnesses to say.
Mama Kay's on trial?
No. But what she's doing is making sure the witnesses bring up Terra's indiscretions as many times as possible. The honorable judges are trying to quell the rumors, but Mama Kay's already won. No one thinks you killed a saint. That helps Logan, but you still killed a queen in plain sight of 18 people. Logan wants to give you a nobleman's death, but they've already heard testimony that you're not a Stern. The Sterns were pretty adamant about that, go figure. And some lady who sat next to you at the coronation says you turned down the Drake's adoption. He gave you the rings and you refused to put them on. So you're looking at the wheel. I did that once. It's a real shitty way to die. Especially for someone who heals as fast as we do.
You came back. You gave me retribution again.
Durzo shrugged as if it were nothing. He reached for a pouch, then stopped himself.
You put Philo Dunamis on the crown. You wonder why it didn't work. Someone cleaned it off. The laundress swears she dumped some cleaning rags into the water and boom, there was a fire. No one believes her. She lost an arm and her job. So, time's wasting. You want to live or die?
I'll take any way out that doesn't make Logan look complicit or weak. And don't tell me you wouldn't give your life for a friend. I know better.
You're the damnedest kid I ever met. Good luck.
Master, wait. Am I doing the right thing?
Durzo stopped, and when he turned, there was a smile on his face. It was a rare sight.
It's a gamble, kid. You always put your money on your friends. It's something I admire about you.
Then he was gone. Kylo shook his head. How had he gotten himself into this? Six royal guards arrived soon thereafter. None of them looked happy, but while two of them had the cautious air of professionals, the other four seemed either nervous or angry or both. One of the angry ones pulled Kylo to his feet. Kylo was, he noticed now, manacled to the wall, and still wearing the clothing he'd worn the night of the coronation. They'd been nice clothes a week ago. His and Terra's dried blood made the front stiff and reeking.
So, you're a big wet boy. You don't look so tough when you don't have a helpless woman shielding you.
Sorry I made you look bad. Please don't hit me again.
You didn't make us look bad, you murdering bastard!
Don't be an asshole, Lou. Of course he did.
Upstairs they're making him sound like a god. Wet boy this, wet boy that. Look at him. He ain't nothing.
Lou, I...
Just then, Kylo disappeared.
What the hell?
His manacles hit the stone floor a second later.
Where the hell?
Sir! He's gone!
Block the door! Block the...
The cell door slammed closed with all the guards inside. Kylo reappeared outside. Grinning, he waved the captain's keys at them.
That didn't just happen. Tell me that didn't just happen.
The rest of the guards still looked like they couldn't believe it.
Captain, will you please ask Lou not to strike me?
Lou?
Yes, sir. Right, sir.
Lou met Kylo's gaze and quickly looked away. Kylo opened the cell door, and the men shuffled out sheepishly.
Should I,
Lou held up the broken manacles. The captain swallowed.
If you don't mind, Master, Kage.
Kylo put his wrists together. They put the manacles on him and walked out of the dungeons. No one said a word. No one laid a hand on him either. The courtroom was a large rectangular hall that could hold hundreds of people. It was overflowing, and the doors had been thrown open so more people could stand at the back and watch. At the raised table at one end of the room, Logan Geyer and Duke Weseros sat side by side. There were supposed to be three judges, but Logan hadn't wanted to impose the duty on the last surviving Duke, Luke Grayson. Facing the table was a small desk and chair inside an iron cage. The captain led Kylo to the cage and removed his manacles. The crowd watched with great anticipation, as though the wet boy was a monster on display who might gnaw the bars. Kylo stepped into the cage silently, glancing briefly at the gallery. Logan wondered if he was looking for friends. He wondered how many Kylo found. The front two rows were made up of nobles, Lantano Garawashi, silent but obviously wondering what Kylo was trying to accomplish, sat near Count Drake, whose jaw was set and eyes were grieved. Logan wondered how much Count Drake had known about his ward. Drake had been a model of integrity for as long as Logan had known him, and a Geyer bannerman besides. The Stern family was in the second row, looking furious. The testimony had already established that they'd never known or seen Kyler, but they still felt their honor impugned. Aside from the usual nobles, there was a vast array of Cenarian humanity. The cream of the Warrens was here, men and women in fine clothes, yet without titles. Logan wondered if all those were Sakage. He wondered how many were glad Kylo was here and how many were grieved or terrified for themselves that he might speak. Then there was a smattering of those drawn simply by the spectacle. A few Ladeshians, some Alataran merchants, and even a Yamuri. To Logan's right hand sat the witnesses. There were 18 guards, as well as the grasping woman who'd sat next to Kylo at the coronation. Kylo sat. Duke Weseros rose.
State your name for this tribunal.
Kylo Stern.
This court has accepted testimony from nobles who said you saved them during the Caladoran coup. They called you the Night Angel. We have heard, sometimes despite our best attempts, about how you saved King Geyer from the hole. We have heard you called Kage, the Shadow. We even heard one man who claimed your name was Azoth. But one certainty we've established is that you are not, nor ever were, a Stern. What is your real name?
I am the Night Angel. But if you choke on that, you can call me Kage.
Duke Weseros looked over to Logan. Logan had asked him to lead the proceedings. Logan nodded.
Kage, you stand accused of high treason and murder. How do you answer these charges?
Of murder? Guilty. Of treason? Not guilty. Terra Grayson was not a lawful queen. By marriage and adoption, Logan Geyer has been king since the death of Elaine Gunda the Ninth.
It is not your place to lecture your betters on Cenarian law.
Then you tell me, Your Grace. Was or was not Duke Geyer formally made King Gunda's heir, and was or was not he married to Janine Gunda? And did or did not that confer on him the right of succession? I wouldn't have killed Terra Grayson if my betters had followed the law rather than their cocks and their coin purses.
The whispers were forestalled by Logan's raised hand. He wore a thin gold band around his brow, but otherwise little to denote kingship.
There is some truth in what you say. On the eve of Parvill's Grove, some of us made regrettable compromises. In the end, however, Cenaria's nobility delivered into Duchess Grayson's hands the scepter and the sword, and we placed the crown upon her brow. It is not the prerogative of a commoner to shed blood to correct what he sees as the nobility's errors. Therefore, Kage, you stand convicted of murder and treason. This tribunal has further questions, which we ask you to answer for both your own sake and Cenaria's. If you answer fully and forthright, you will be granted a merciful death. If not, you will be bound to the wheel.
Logan held his face impassive, but his stomach turned. The wheel was a cruel death, as bad as Alateran cruxing or Modaini drawing and quartering. It was the established punishment for treason. Only treasonous nobles were beheaded, and it had been established that Kyler was no noble. A merciful death for testimony was the most Logan could do for his friend.
I will answer all I can without compromising my honor.
Are you a member of the Sakage?
Yes.
Are you an assassin?
Assassins have targets. Wet boys have debtors. I was a wet boy.
Was?
I split with the Sakage during the coup. I don't kill for money now.
So you claim no one ordered you to kill the queen?
The Night Angel is the spirit of retribution. No one orders me to do anything, Your Highness. Not even you.
Strike him!
One of the guards stepped up to the cage, but hesitated.
Strike him!
The man hit Kyler across the jaw, not hard. Logan could swear the man looked scared.
Who hired you to kill Tara Grayson?
I planned and carried it out alone.
Why? A wet boy might have escaped.
If I wanted to, I could escape right now.
Well, I don't know if you're a wet boy, but you're certainly an accomplished liar.
I am an accomplished liar. I guess it doesn't matter. You've already established that I'm not a Stern and that I killed the Queen, so let's finish this.
You deny the Sakage had any part in the Queen's death.
Are you a moron or a stooge? I've given Sonaria a king who can neither be bribed or blackmailed. The Sakage is furious with me. The question you're too afraid to ask is whether the king ordered me to kill Tara Grayson.
How dare you impugn our king's honor! Strike him!
No! Sit. It's a fair question. A fair question for us to drag into the light. Because everyone's going to be asking it quietly in the days to come.
Many of you were at Pavel's Grove. You saw Logan kill the Ferali.
Logan almost goggled. He and Kyla both knew he hadn't killed the Ferali. It had been Kyla's assassinating the God King that had defeated the beast.
Many of you hailed Logan as your king, but he wouldn't accept the crown then, would he? Do you think he was afraid of Tara Grayson then? How many of her bannermen do you think would have stood by her on that day if Logan had taken the crown? He held his honor that day as he has every day of his life. Do you think that if he had ordered me to murder her on the night of her coronation, that he would have welcomed me to sit by him at the high table? Do you think he is such a fool that, knowing what I was going to do an hour later, he would remind everyone what good friends he was with a wet boy? I've been a Sakage spy on Logan Gaia for 10 years. In that time, Logan came to trust me as his best friend. So it turns out that the question isn't whether he had me assassinate Tara Grayson, because he didn't. The Duke, who was once betrothed to a mere Count's daughter, has always had too much honor for that. The real question is, if our new king will pardon his friend for the murder that put him on the throne.
Kyler turned and met Logan's eyes for the first time.
Well, Logan, how about it?
Whatever else Kyler's time straddling Sonaria's worlds had done to him, Logan saw that his friend had learned the way of rumors among both the peasants and the nobility. He'd fingered exactly the questions people would ask. Indeed, he'd set up everything so the questions could have only one answer. Logan had wondered why Kyler had allowed himself to be caught. He had no illusions that it had been because Kyler couldn't escape. This was Kyler's answer. To shine a glaring light on everything and force Logan to show decisively where his loyalties lay. Kyler had no doubt what Logan would do. Logan saw that. It was the right thing to do. It was the only thing to do. But Logan had recently lost his father, his mother, his fiancée, and his wife. How? How was he supposed to condemn his best friend to death? Kyler was giving his life so Logan could have power. He trusted Logan that much, and Logan knew he had it in him to be a monster. But there was nothing to do.
A pardon is out of the question. You were our friend, but our justice will not be swayed. Whatever your intentions, even if it was to make us king, you have done murder in this realm. Justice demands your death. Justice will be satisfied. As king, I demand you answer one more question. If you answer, we will grant you a merciful death. If not, it will be the wheel. Kage, what are the names and positions of everyone you know in the Sakage?
Kyler shook his head. Kyler sat in the darkness and stench of his cell deep into the night. After he died this time, everything would be different.
Montano Gorowashi.
Kyler stood and bowed.
Night Angel, may I come in?
Kyler smirked at how the man was treating this like a social visit.
Please. How'd you get here?
I asked permission.
Ah.
You robbed me, Night Angel.
How so?
Our duel. It was to have been the height of our glory. A duel for the ages.
The Night Angels keep their word. A Night Angel will be there, I promise.
He will be your equal.
He may even be yours.
Garawashi cracked a smile. He sat on the stone shelf opposite Kyler and folded his legs beneath himself. Kyler sat similarly on his bunk.
I don't understand Cenarian honor. King Gaier will rule whether you do this or not. Why will you die for a people unworthy of you?
I don't know. I only know it felt like the right thing to do.
Do you have a lover? Does she approve of this?
Kyler hadn't even thought of it. The look on his face must have betrayed him because Garawashi shook his head.
You tell me, Night Angel. Would you give her life to accomplish this?
I wouldn't ask anyone to die for my ideals.
Yet you ask Logan to kill for them.
Kyler had no answer.
Since you've never sent men to their deaths, let me make the question easier. Would your lover give her life to change this land?
Yes, gladly.
Then perhaps she will forgive you one day.
I wouldn't have expected a Sakurai to care what a woman thinks.
No Sakurai wishes to marry a shadow. A woman should be as fiery as her hair. Korin women whisper on the streets and shout in the home. Young Sakurai think that means only in the bedroom. They learn.
Kyler couldn't help but smile too.
I must go. I will expect your successor at Midsummer's in 5 years. May your sword soul shine ever brighter, Night Angel.
Lantano Garawashi left, and to his surprise, Kyler slept. He woke at the sound of a lockpick scraping. He was alert instantly and stood stealthily. The door opened moments later, telling him that whoever was breaking into his cell was a professional. The locks on the noble cells were tight. The door cracked open and scarred Rabel's face appeared. He grinned to see Kyler awake and in a ready position.
You're Blent's apprentice after all, aren't you? Morning, lad.
What are you doing here?
There are two contracts out on you. One from inside, to kill you.
Scarred meant inside the Sakage.
The other one's from some nobles.
Kyler's eyes never left Scarred Rabel, though the man didn't have a weapon drawn.
Terra Grayson's folk?
Actually, some shadow saved a bunch of lords during the coup. They think they owe you. You want to guess which contract I took?
It depends on who in the Sakage took out the other one.
The one from inside wasn't from one of my usual clients. And Mama Kay likes you. I don't plan on betting against her. I took the noble's contract.
He drew a knife and extended it hilt first. Kyler waved it off.
Tell them thanks, but I'm not here because I can't escape.
I told them you'd say that. They said I'd get half for trying. I don't know what you're trying to accomplish, but you're crazy brave.
More one than the other, I think.
How about this, then? I lied when I said there's two contracts. There's three. Third one's same as the second. To free you. You got more friends than a wet boy order. You want to guess who took it out?
Pray tell.
The king, his own self. If in I was king, I'd just let you go. Guess nobles don't think like the rest of us. You coming?
Damn you, Logan. Damn you for flinching.
Stay.
You ought to be a noble your own self. You're a man in love with death, Night Angel. See you on the other side.
They marched Kyler out of the mall before dawn. His escort was 50 men. They bound his wrists with manacles behind his back, tied his elbows with hemp, and hobbled his feet. He was surprised when, instead of heading through the castle, the guards led him out the great double doors to the black carven tongue, and out the throat of the maw onto the rocky west side of Voss Island. There was a barge waiting for them, and as soon as they chained Kyler to a post in the middle of it, they cast off, the men alert for threats from him or from any who might rescue him. They had barely passed under West Kingsbridge when Kyler saw new construction on the cliff. Deep pilings had been sunk into the riverbed south of Voss Island to support a central platform which rested on the surface of the river. The pilings extended high above the platform, and three spokes radiated from the center, supporting temporary spans to Voss Island, the Warrens, and the east side. The three-way bridge was temporary now and low to the water, but the size and placement of the pilings told Kyler of the project's ambition. It would be a symbol of Logan's reign, a bridge that bound the city's sides and its government together. As they came closer, Kyler saw that what he had thought was merely the thickness of the temporary bridge's surface was something else. Every one of the temporary spans, west to the Warrens, north to the castle, and east, was filled with people. The sun was barely lighting the sky, and there were thousands gathered. Everyone in the city had come. Even Lantano Garawashi's soldiers had come. These people loved Logan, Kyler knew instantly, and any traitor must be vile. The barge came closer, and the yells were deafening. Looking on faces filled with hatred, Kyler supposed he was lucky the city had been starving. There was no rotten produce for people to throw. Something splashed in the water 20 feet short of the barge.
Shields up!
The men crouched and raised their shields over their heads. Chained to the post in the middle, Kyler couldn't move. Rocks rattled off the shields and splashed in the water. Then Kyler watched one part perfectly. He turned his head. The rock gouged a furrow in his scalp and he staggered against the post, blood spilling over his ear. Another rock glanced off his shoulder and a third hit him in the crotch. A stone a hand span across landed on his foot, shattering bone. It was bad timing. A rock that would have been too high caught him in the mouth, snapping teeth and driving others through his lip. The barge bumped against the platform.
Enough!
Kyler lifted his head and saw a young woman in full armor standing in the center of the platform with her hands raised, trying to still the crowd. Then a stone hit him in the eye.
Enough!
Kyler lost her voice under the shrieking voice of pain. His face was hot. His chained hands couldn't reach up to protect himself or feel the damage. Soldiers were jostling him, half-carrying, half-dragging him forward. Kyler opened his eyes, but could only see from his right. His first sight was of his bare foot, bleeding, ruined. It made him light-headed. He looked up, blinking, but blinking sent forks of lightning through his left eye. Blood was filling his mouth from his smashed lips. He didn't know if he'd swallowed or spit out the teeth, but jagged edges were all that remained. When Kyler could finally try to make out the details, he saw that the platform was filled with Logan's retinue, including at least 100 of Logan's bodyguards. Numerous other soldiers were scattered throughout the crowd, including along all three bridges, keeping a lane clear. On the far side of the platform, facing the castle, was the wheel. To one side, Logan sat in a gilded chair. They dragged Kyler before him. Logan's eyes trailed over Kyler's wounds and he swallowed, but he didn't avert his gaze. His eyes met Kyler's and Kyler saw suffering as great as his own, but no wavering. The herald looked at Kyler. Hatred burned in his eyes.
This is your last chance. Admit your guilt. Did you kill Tara Grayson?
Yes! I killed Tara Grayson! And I'd do it again!
Kage, Shadowed One, whom I knew as Kyler Stern, I owe you my life. You are a hero, and I call you my friend. but you have betrayed this country and murdered her queen. I will not be a king who gives different justice to his friends. Kyla, my friend, I sentence you to hang by the wheel until you are dead.
The soldiers dragged Kyla to the wheel. It was slightly taller than a man and open, with only four spokes radiating from the axle, which would be behind Kyla's back so he could face the crowds. There were blocks for his feet, which adjusted at the ankles so his feet wouldn't slip free, a thick leather belt for his waist, and two sharply ridged bars for handholds. The rest of the wheel bristled with iron spikes, all pointed inward. Royal guards who brought him from the maw began strapping him in place.
Are you really the Night Angel?
Caldrosa was fitting the leather belt around his waist.
Yes.
Caldrosa leaned close as she strapped his wrist to the wheel.
There are 250 women here who'd be dead if you hadn't saved us from Hugh Gibbet. It'll kill us to betray Logan, but if you...
Do your duty.
Thank you.
Once he was strapped in, the guards adjusted the spikes. If Kyler held himself in place, none of them would touch his body. However, as the wheel turned, he would have to support his weight by his ankles and by his hands, gripping knife-edged bars that would cut his fingers and palms to mincemeat. Once he weakened, the spikes would stab his sides, his legs, and his arms enough to spur him to redouble his efforts, but never so deeply that they would kill. He would eventually die of blood loss, or his heart would burst. Then Logan gave a signal, and the wheel rattled backward and settled down, water lapping over Kyla's feet. Oh, yes. Now Kyla remembered. There were more than two ways to die on the wheel. The wheel itself was perpendicular to the flow of the cliff. It used the river's current to turn it. When Kyla was turned upside down, his head would dip into the water low enough to cover his mouth. It would only be enough to drown him if he was unconscious, and close to death anyway, but the coughing fit would make him stab himself in dozens of places.
Well, this should be fun.
The wheel began to turn.
Thank you for receiving me.
Mama Kay came out onto the castle balcony where Logan stood, his dinner untouched. He didn't lift his eyes from the river. It had been 12 hours since the wheel began turning. Behind him, Nasher ate noisily and, with a total lack of stealth, stole Logan's biscuits.
How could I deny you? When the Shinga plays, kings dance.
Logan didn't turn. A wet boy had delivered her letter, her admission that she was the Shinga, just this morning. But the shock of it was muted by Logan's grief. Mama Kay came to stand beside him at the railing. From this distance, all they could see was that there were still a few dozen people on the platform, half of them guards, and that the wheel was still turning. The signal flag to let Logan know when Kyla died still hadn't been raised.
This changes everything.
What hand did you have in Tara Grayson's death?
None. Though not for lack of trying. I put Cogley Mars on the right track, hoping he would discover that Tara betrayed her little sister Natasa. I even arranged for him to sing the night of the coronation. I made sure that no guards would stop him once he began, and I arranged for Luke Grayson to be there to hear it. I hoped Luke would kill Tara. And once you were king, I planned to have this talk with you regardless. Though I was planning on waiting a month.
In which time?
The current food supplies and our own would run out.
And?
I would come to you with enough food to feed the city through the winter.
In return for what?
The thing is, Your Majesty, with this...
She gestured to the wheel.
You've proven that you have integrity. Integrity is rare here, but it won't change this city alone. You need allies for that. And if you want allies in this city, you will be seeking allies who have objectionable histories.
Like you.
And like Count Drake, whom you've conveniently forgot was also once in Sakage leadership.
Logan blinked.
The point is, if you try to hold to account every official in the city who's ever taken a bribe, or violated a trust, or broken a law, you will have no officials.
What do you propose?
The question is, what you propose. What will the reign of King Gaia the First mean?
I mean to make this mean something. I mean to destroy you, Sakage.
That's a means, not an end.
I mean to make Cenaria a great center of trade and learning. A place our people are proud to claim. We will be able to defend ourselves. We will live in peace, not in fear and corruption. The Warrens may never equal the East Side, but I mean to make it possible for a man to be born in the Warrens and die in an East Side palace.
How about a woman?
Of course.
Sounds good. I'll take it.
You could already buy a palace.
I want you to appoint me Duchess and grant me the Grayson lands, Your Majesty.
There's not enough rice in the world to buy that.
It was his anger speaking. His best friend was dying. Mama Kay ignored it.
The Sakage is a parasite latched onto Cenaria's face. Fully uprooting them is impossible, but their power can be broken. It may take years, and it will cost much of your treasure, and perhaps your popularity. Success is not certain. Are you a king who can stay a course through a river of blood?
Logan watched the wheel turn for a full minute.
While there is breath in my body, I will fight to make Kyla's death mean something. What will you do if I give you what you ask?
I will give you my complete loyalty. I'll be your spy master. Last, but certainly not least, I'll destroy the Sakage.
Why should I believe that you would so casually betray an organization that must include every friend you've ever had?
Friends? The Sakage relieves us of the burden of friendship. The truth is, in all my years, I had only 3 friends in the Sakage. One was a wet boy named Durzo. Kyla had to kill him because of something I did. One was Jarl, who died trying what I'm proposing. The last is dying for it as we speak. What I propose is a betrayal, that's true, but it's not a casual betrayal. If we do this, we'll need to keep my appointment secret for a time. Once the Sakage learns of my new loyalties, they'll go underground. And I need to speak with as many of them as possible before that.
Can they be broken?
Not with swords alone.
What can go wrong?
You want the short version or the long one?
The long one.
So she told him. Then she told him the plan she had in place to counter every one of those possibilities. It took an hour. She spoke succinctly and asked him questions as well. Was he willing to use wet boys to do work the guards could not? How much amnesty was he willing to extend? Would thieves walk free? Bashers, extortionists, rapists, murders. What would be the penalty for those who took bribes in the new scenario?
Our first strike will have to be sharp. Seizure of funds, arrests, making legitimate employment available. Large carrots, large sticks. And most of our plans will probably only last until the first sword is drawn.
Logan said nothing for a long time.
If we do this, I won't put you in charge of uprooting the Sakage.
What?
I won't put that much power in your hands. You could destroy anyone with a word, and I'd have no idea if you were telling the truth. Rimbold Drake will be in charge. You will work for him. Fair enough.
Mama Kay's eyes were cold for a long moment. Then they cleared.
I can see that taking orders is going to take some getting used to. Yes, it's fair. Perhaps you are the king who can do this after all. Your Majesty, I swear my fealty to you.
She knelt gracefully and touched his foot.
Guinevere Kyrena, I hereby establish House Kyrena, peers among the great houses of the realm. I grant to you and your house in perpetuity the land stretching from the Smuggler's Archipelago in the west to the Wye River in the east, and from the boundaries of Havamir in the north to the Curan border in the south. Rise, Duchess Kyrena.
Your Majesty, there is one more thing. Yesterday I received confirmation of an earlier report that I hadn't believed. In each case, my sources had nothing to gain by lying. Both have been trustworthy in the past. I don't know how this is possible, but I believe it is true. I didn't want to tell you before we concluded our own negotiations, because I didn't want you to think I was trying to influence them.
That's a lot of hedging. What is it?
Your wife didn't die in the coup, Your Majesty. Janine's in Kalidor. She's alive.
Sometime after dark, the wheel stopped turning. Tyler jerked his head up. He blinked through the river water coursing from his hair and looked around. Blinking still hurt, but he could make out shapes now with the eye that had been blinded in the morning. A young man in armor stood before him. Obviously, he was one of Logan's bodyguards.
I was given a message, Sir Kage. Aristarchus is healthy and safe at home now with his wife and children. The Society wishes to thank you in hopes that stopping the wheel for a few hours is a small repayment.
He glanced up one of the bridges. Through the darkness, Kyla saw a Ladesian man he'd never met. The man raised his hand in greeting, though in the darkness no one but Kyla could have seen him. Then the Ladesian walked away. So Aristarchus Ban Abron had survived his addiction. Kyla hadn't known he had a family. He wondered what Aristarchus's wife thought when her beautiful husband came back with blackened and missing teeth, his looks and pride sacrificed to a cause she couldn't understand. The Society thanked Kyla?
We can only stop the wheel until dawn, Sir Kage. I'm sorry.
But Kyla barely heard him. He unclenched his bloody hands from the knife-edged grips and let the belt and the ankle straps hold his weight. His head sunk to his chest.
Kylar?
They were in a little room with two beds, a basin, and a small chest at the foot of each bed. A small figure was asleep in one bed, and V was propped up on one hand in the other. She looked worse than Kylar had ever seen her. Her eyes were red and puffy, her face blotchy, and handkerchiefs wadded in her hands.
Gods, what have they done to you?
He looked at the sleeping figure on the other bed and shuffled over to her.
Yuli. God, she's getting big. Yuli?
She can't hear us. We're not really here. Come, sit down.
Kyla sat with difficulty. He smiled wanly.
Yuli's your roommate?
Yes. 13 years old and she's better than me at everything.
Tell her I'm sorry. I abandoned her like everyone else. I made a lousy father.
Quiet. Lie down.
Kyla didn't resist. He put his head in her lap and closed his eyes.
Kyla, I think I can help you, but I need you to tell me what happened. Who did this to you?
Her fingers were warm and gentle. It was an effort to speak.
Doing?
Doing.
I'm being executed for murdering Queen Grayson. Logan's the king. I did that, Eileen. That's worth my life, isn't it?
Eileen's not here, Kyler. It's me. V.
A muscle in his back spasmed. V laid both of her hands on him, and the cramps released. Warmth flooded through his body and a blessed absence of pain. There was a long silence, and Kyler began fading.
But you'll come back, right? After you die?
No one ever explained it. Live every life like it's your last, huh?
He couldn't help it. He felt warm all over. When he opened his eyes to look up at Bea, she wasn't smiling. Her face was rigid with concentration and pain.
Sleep. I'll help you all I can.
Logan rose before dawn. He hadn't slept. Sensing his mood, his guards hadn't slept either, but if they felt as wretched as he did, they concealed it.
I'm going to see Kyla.
Caldrosa nodded, having expected it. One of the things Logan was learning to hate about being king was that he couldn't go anywhere without a retinue. Given that the last two Cenarian monarchs, or six if he believed Duchess Karina, had been assassinated, it was reasonable. Still, though Logan hated dragging along 12 people with him wherever he went, it wasn't their fault, and it was beneath him to make their lives more difficult. So he simply had to act with more consideration. Hot water arrived for his bath so promptly that Logan knew Caldrosa must have told the kitchens hours ago that the king would require his bath early. It was a simple act, but illustrative. Many nobles ignored their servants as they ignored the ground beneath their feet. Logan's father had pointed out that a noble interacted with his servants more than he did with even his own family. It paid to treat them well. But it was a still rare servant who so actively anticipated her master's needs. Logan stripped and bathed himself. As he scrubbed, he thought of how his apartments, though high above the hole he'd lived in, had seen as much misery. Logan had seen the statues, hidden in a storeroom in the castle's bowels, of the God King's women. They had all been young Cenarian noblewomen. Logan had known each by face and name and title. Every one of those women who had been so cruelly used, broken, murdered, and put on display. One of his first acts as king had been to return those girls to their families for burial. For some, there was no family left to return them to. So Logan had seen to those burials himself. He wished he could kill the dead God King with his own hands, and the wheel would be too good for Trudana Jodwin, who had signed each statue as if they were pieces of her art. The room got brighter as Logan stood, dripping, naked, oblivious to the towel one of his bodyguards offered. Janine was, most likely, one of those women now. Even if he could get her back, she might well be bereft of reason. Regardless, she wouldn't be the woman he had lost. He had to be prepared for that, had to be ready to love someone broken, wounded beyond healing. The fucking monsters! The room brightened with a white-green incandescence as Logan's rage crested. He mastered his outrage, his fury at his own ignorance, his impatience and his hatred. He cooled them and fit them to his purpose. What would it profit to yell and smash things in his own castle while Janine languished in Kalidor? Logan opened his eyes and became aware of Caldrosa and Peturin, his short Yamuri guard, gawking. The white-green lines etched in his forearm dimmed. Logan took the towel.
The long-sleeved tunic?
Always. Thank you.
The sun was rising as Logan and his retinue arrived on the platform where Kyla was dying. Blood dripped from his sides where blades pierced his arms, his armpits, his ribs, missed his waist because the belt held him in place, but stabbed again into the sides of his thighs and calves. Blood dribbled from fists clenched around spiked handholds. Blood flowed freely from his scalp and each of his temples, refusing to clot because every revolution dipped his head underwater. He was a man lined in blood, and he still breathed. There was another man who had been regarding Kyla in the dawn light too. It was Lantano Garawashi. He didn't turn as Logan approached. The wheel turned Kyla sideways. Lacking the strength anymore to hold his body in place, he slid onto the points on the downside. As he inhaled, that motion made the spikes tear the holes in his chest larger. Blood welled up on the opposite side, and as he turned upside down, he made a feeble effort to hold himself up, but slid down. His head jabbed against three spikes and dozens more stabbed into his shoulders and arms. Then his head went underwater. Logan's stomach clenched. It was with difficulty that he didn't throw up. He'd come to take his friend's body away, not to watch him suffer, not to watch him die. Kyla's strength must have given way only minutes ago. It was impossible for a man to bleed so freely for so long without dying. So Logan stood with Lantano Garawashi and looked at what he had done for a minute. 5 minutes. 5 minutes stretched to an unbearable 10. And still, Kyla showed no signs of weakening further. It was unbelievable. Impossible.
Look at his feet.
For a moment, Logan had no idea what Garawashi was talking about. There was nothing remarkable about Kyra's feet. They, at least, were spared injury. And Logan remembered. When Kyler had been strapped to the wheel, they dragged him because a stone had crushed one of his feet. Another had blinded one eye. Now both feet and both eyes were whole. Logan's fleeting disbelief became wonder and then horror. The wheel was intended for an excruciating death for traitors. It usually took hours. Kyler, however, was healing at an incredible rate. The wheel would kill him eventually, but after a day, he seemed like a man who had been on the wheel less than an hour. Logan had never intended such cruelty. This made the hole look humane.
You did right.
Kyler's eyes were open.
Go, my king. I'll be hanging around.
How do I end this?
Brant Agon strode forward, his gait still broken, still needing the aid of Canes.
Your Majesty, in times past, when men were put on the wheel before a religious festival and a ruler wished to avoid defiling the city by having a man die during the festival, they would break the condemned's arms or legs so they'd be impaled more deeply on the spikes and die faster. I must also inform your Majesty that the Lycanoct ambassador is on his way. He refused to be put off any longer.
He wiped his eyes and blinked. Looking at the makeshift bridge to the castle, he saw the Lycanoct ambassador approaching.
Very well. Let him approach. Set up my chair and desk here.
He deliberately leaked to the ambassador that he would be here, assuming the man would follow. Logan had meant to meet with a man in front of the wheel as a reminder of how hard Logan could be. But in his wildest nightmares, he hadn't thought Kyler would still be dying while they met. The wheel turned, and Logan stood, facing it, watching Kyler, until Brant Agon, acting as his impromptu chamberlain, announced the ambassador.
Your Majesty, Tertullus Martus, questor of the 12th Army of the Lycanoct, attaché to Overlord Julius Rotans.
Logan turned and sat at the field desk. Tertullus Martius's eyes flicked past him to Kyler. Standing, Logan's body obscured the visage of death. Sitting, it framed him. The ambassador couldn't look at him without being aware of the man dying behind him on the wheel.
Your Majesty, thank you for welcoming me and congratulations on your recent ascension to the throne and your most glorious victories. If half the tales are true, your name shall live forever.
The man went on for some time. The Lycanoct's 12th Army was their diplomatic corps. There hadn't been 12 Lycanoct armies since before the Alataran Accords. Today, there were perhaps 3, and maybe only 2, given the massacre of the 5,000 at Ezra's Wood. But Tertullus Martus had set the rudder before he began speaking, and he didn't even have to think as he spoke. His body was similarly controlled, betraying nothing. He stood with his feet fairly close together so as not to appear combative. His hands were kept loose so as to neither point nor clench into fists. His gestures were small. Logan watched his eyes instead. The man was weighing him. This ambassador wasn't here to offer any deals, though he would surely soon offer something small. His anxiety to see Logan as quickly as possible came only from pressure from his superiors. They wanted to know if Logan was a threat. They had recently lost 5,000 men, and they needed to know if this new king of an insignificant, corrupt kingdom could be trusted to do as Cenarian kings had done for 20 years. Nothing.
And may I just say what a great honor it is for me to be...
Logan rose in the middle of the diplomat's sentence. With perfect calm, he knocked over the field desk. He stepped on the desk and ripped off a leg. With two mighty slashes, he broke Kyler's legs at the shin. Deprived of support, his body sagged against a dozen blades under his arm. Jagged bone stabbed through the skin of his legs, gleaming wetly in the rising sun. The wheel turned sideways and the sides of his legs were pierced much more deeply. Logan looked at the depth of the cuts and looked Kyler in the eye. There was great suffering, but there was no fear. With two more heavy blows, Logan broke Kyler's forearms. Without the rigidity of those bones, his body sank unnaturally far. Gravity stretching his arms like clay, his body sinking too far at every turn. After 7 revolutions, Kyler stopped coughing. The flow of blood slowed, and the tension in the distorted muscles relaxed. Logan gestured to a pair of the King's guard. The wheel stopped. They checked for a pulse. There was none. They began removing the body. Logan turned to Tertullus Martis, who, for all his diplomatic training, still hadn't managed to close his gaping mouth or narrow his wide eyes.
543 years ago, a man was captured by a Caladoran Verdmeister and tortured for 3 months. This man kept his sanity and his courage, and at the end of those 3 months, he escaped. He founded an order devoted to resisting and destroying black magic, Caladoran magic. In time, this mission expanded to encompass the destruction of all magic and all who wield it. However, his order, the Lycanoct, the bringers of the freedom of the light, still harbor an especial hatred for those who wield the Veer.
Your Majesty displays a remarkable knowledge.
Silence! For the last 18 years, you Lycanoct have been squatting on Cenarian lands. This will end. Here are your choices. First, you can pack up and leave immediately. Second, you can fight us. You recently lost 5,000 men, and I have a battle-seasoned army that's getting bored. An Akuran army to whom I've sworn a battle that will live in history. We will crush you. Or third, you can marshal your armies and march to Kalador beside us. That way you can fight those you say you truly hate and have a chance to defeat them. If you fight beside us, I will give you a 15-year grant to the lands you now occupy. But, and I can't stress this enough, after that time, you will leave Cenarian lands forever. Regardless of your choice, my armies will march in the spring. We will head east first. If you don't join with us, we will wipe you out, and we won't stop at our own borders. We will notify every kingdom on whose lands you might hide that we are coming. Perhaps one of them might join you to fight against us. But then again, they might choose to join us. It depends on how much goodwill you've built up with your neighbors.
Those terms are clearly not acceptable, but I'm sure our negotiators will be able to find something mutually.
If you don't choose to fight beside Cenaria, you will be choosing to fight against Cenaria. I win wars in such a way that I don't have to fight them twice.
You can't come after us. Not with your full strength, not with Kalador to your north.
Kalador has suffered a great defeat, and there are defensible passes between our borders. Kalador doesn't hold any of my land. You do. I have made an oath to Lantano Garuwashi that he will have a great battle come spring. Together, he and I can wipe you out. Such a victory, I dare say, would endear him greatly to the Kurans back home. What we cannot do without you is destroy Kalador. No matter what, the Sakurai will go home next summer. I have 1 year to destroy one or both of the greatest threats to my realm. So I have no reason to hold anything back, do I?
You're mad.
I'm desperate. There's a difference. I have no intention of giving you a good deal, Ambassador. You're overextended, weakened, surrounded by enemies, and quite frankly, you piss me off. I don't intend to negotiate. We've written up a treaty in full with details on how your forces will be integrated with ours for the length of the war with Kalador. And details of how we will be sure that you leave Cenaria after your 15-year grant has expired. I will give you only enough time to take this to your overlord.
Give him 3 days to discuss it with his advisors, and get back here. Any modifications he proposes will be considered a rejection of the treaty. That's all there is to it. On the other hand, if you truly hate Kalador, if you hate black magic and how it has enslaved an entire country and seeks to destroy Midkiru, this is the opportunity of a lifetime. We could destroy Kalador once and for all.
Logan gestured, and a scroll in an ornate case was brought forward.
Now, I advise you to get on your horse. Your answer is due in 3 weeks from today. Delinquency will be considered a declaration of war.
Aline looked at the woman on the bed in the Chantry's hospital floor. V's eyes were swollen, her light freckles almost green against her pale skin. 2 days ago, V had fallen unconscious with a cry as they'd been walking together. Aline had been surprised how well they'd been getting along. Then, this had happened.
Have you figured anything out?
It's definitely the bond.
That was good and bad. The only other guess they'd had was that V's rapid progress with her talent had been hiding some flaw, and all her power had rebounded on her. From her talks with Sister Ariel, Aline had learned that V was terrifically talented, but completely uneven in what she had learned. Her wet boy training had enabled her to use her talent easily, but she'd missed certain basics, and the sisters had no idea which ones, so it seemed V mastered some difficult things as easily as breathing, and some easy things she couldn't get at all. When she'd collapsed, everyone had been frightened. Of course, if it was the bond, that meant something had gone really wrong with Kyler. Aline looked at Sister Ariel.
We've had pigeons from Cenaria that the treason trial was being concluded. I deduce from V's state that the sentence is being carried out even now. The wheel, I would imagine.
Sister Ariel looked up and down the corridor.
With Kyler's special gifts, it's taking longer than it should. And V has been helping him heal by taking some of his suffering onto herself. It's only making the inevitable last longer. So it's a cruel kindness. But it is well meant.
Why would she help him like that?
One can only guess. But then, I don't claim to know much about love.
The word was a blow. V loved Kyler this much? V sat bolt upright.
Ah!
Her eyes met Aline's. She grabbed her own shins.
No, I can't. I can't do it. I'm not strong enough. It hurts too much. No, Kyler. No.
Then she lost consciousness, and Aline knew Kyler was dead. Sister Ariel stepped forward immediately and grabbed V's earring. She tried to pry it off, but it wouldn't budge.
Damn it! The bond's not broken. Not even by his...
She trailed off, realizing that this place was too public to admit Kyler's immortality.
I was hoping... Well, not hoping that he would, you know what. But that if he did, that the bond would break. It was my last hope for you. The bond really is forever. I'm sorry, Aline. I'm sorry.
The walk through the golden halls of death was familiar now. Kyler glided forward, not really touching the ground. It was as if the mind constructed movement as walking, having to impose some order on a realm that existed without human analogs. The antechamber of the mystery was exactly as he remembered it. The wolf sat on his throne, yellow eyes lambent, hostility etched into his burn-scarred face. 2 doors sat opposite him. The plain wood door, through which Kyler would walk back to life, and the gold door, leaking warm light around its edges, barred to him forever. The ghostly presence of others filled the room. They moved unseen, staring, talking about him.
Congratulations, Nameless. You've proved you can sacrifice yourself like you don't care if you die. Like you don't give a damn about the living. How like the young.
The wolfish smile was cruel. Kyler was too tired to play games. The wolf didn't intimidate him anymore.
Why do you hate me?
Because you're a waste, Nameless. People love you more than you have any right to. And you treat them like they're shit to be scraped off your boots.
It was so unfair after what Kyler had gone through that he threw his hands up.
You know what? To hell with you. You can make your little cryptic comments and hate me if you want to, but at least call me by my fucking name.
And what name is that?
Kyler. Kyler Stern.
Kyler Stern? The Stern Undying Dyer? That's not a name, it's a title. It's a judge.
Azoth, then.
You are many leagues from that shitless witness rat. But even were you he, do you know what Azoth is?
What do you mean?
Azoth is an old word for quicksilver. Random, formless, unpredictable. Literally, mercurial. You, Nameless, can be anyone, and thus are no one. Your smoke, a shadow that melts away in the light of day. Kage, they call you. A shadow of what you could be, and a shadow of your master, who was a titan.
My master was a coward! He never even told me who he was!
Prince Sir Caelus Thorn of Treyafel was a warrior, and not much else. Neither introspective nor wise, he was one of the rare good men who love war. He didn't hate himself for life. He wasn't cruel. He simply gloried in a contest with the highest possible stakes. He was good at it, too, and he became one of Jorsen Alkesti's best friends. That nettled one of Jorsen's other best friends, and easily nettled Archimagus named Ezra, who thought Achilles a charismatic fool who happened to be good at swinging a sword. In return, Achilles thought Ezra a coward who took Jorsen away from where he belonged in the front lines. When the champions were chosen, the men and women who were Jorsen's final hope of victory, Ezra intended to bomb the Devourer himself. It was by far the most powerful Kakari, and he had sweat and blood for it. The only man to whom he would willingly surrender it was Jorsen. But the Devourer didn't choose Ezra or Jorsen. He chose the Sword Swinger. Perhaps you can appreciate why it seemed odd that an artifact which by its nature was concerned with concealment would go to a man completely lacking subtlety.
It did seem odd, though the choice had obviously proved wise.
The Devourer didn't choose your master simply because he was an obscure choice. He chose Achilles because it understood his heart. Achilles loved the clash of arms, but most men who love battle love it because it proves their mastery over others. If the Devourer had given itself to a man who loved power as Ezra did, it would have spawned a tyrant of terrible proportions. Think of a god king made truly a god, and you have a bit of it. What your master loved at his core was the brotherhood of war. He thirsted for the camaraderie of men risking all to come through for each other. The Devourer is nothing if not talented at setting up tensions. For your master to take the Black Kakari, he had to leave that brotherhood. He had to give up what he loved most and become known as a traitor. That tension forced Achilles to become a deeper, wiser, and sadder man. And of course, there was the Devourer's greater tension and greater power. Your master was a man of war. But the vagaries of war are such that even the mighty might be clipped by a stray arrow or a falling horse, or the mistake of a friend. So your master lived with the tension of his calling, pulling against his fear for any he loved. Hakeena sought to live in peace. He had a few lifetimes as a farmer, a hunter, an apothecary, a perfumer, a blacksmith. Can you imagine? Yet though they were full lives, sometimes married, even with children, they were not fulfilled lives. For a man who denies what is essential to his being is a man who drills holes in the cup of his own happiness. How could he help but resent those he loved as they kept him from his calling? Here was a man who could lead armies, who could defeat invasions almost single-handedly. This man was compelled to farm? By his own love? Time and again, He returned to the battlefield because the evil was too great to be ignored. And sometimes he was victorious, and there was no price to pay. And sometimes his wife died, but it was worse when his children died. His marriages never survived his children's deaths. He was a man who never learned to forgive himself.
Kylo was missing some essential piece that the wolf thought he understood. But the man kept speaking, and Kylo was so hungry to hear more about his master that he didn't dare interrupt.
So in the end, he sought to defeat the power of the Qatari by defeating love. He thought that if he refused to love, death could take nothing from him. He deafened himself to love's voice with killing and whoring and drinking. He became a wet boy because wet boys cannot love. He was ultimately successful, and the Qatari abandoned him because he finally knew love's antithesis.
Hatred?
Indifference. When Vonda's life was threatened, Yoza was relieved. The path he took was a reasonable one. He kept the Qatari out of young Garrett Versal's hands. But the truth was that he didn't really care if Vonda died. That was what broke the Qatari's bond.
But he came back, even after I bonded the Qatari.
Because he loved you, Kyla. He chose to die for you, to give up everything he still had. His sword, his Qatari, his power, his life. For you, there is no greater love. Such a death was rewarded with new life.
By who? You?
The wolf said nothing.
The Qatari? The god?
Perhaps it is just the way greatest magic works. Justice and mercy entwined. It's a mystery, Kyler. A mystery on a par with the question of why is there life at all? If you wish to answer the mystery by positing a god, you can. Or you can say that it just is. And by the way, be glad for it. For it is a gift. Or a most fortunate accident.
Kyler felt suddenly small in the workings of a universe vast beyond comprehension. Vast, and yet perhaps not ambivalent, even to Durzo's suffering. One last life. A sheer gift. The Qatari was even more strange and marvelous than he'd imagined.
I thought it was just amazing magic.
It is amazing magic. It just isn't just amazing magic. The most potent magics are tied to human truths. Beauty and passion and yearning and fortitude and valor and empathy. It is from these that the Qatari draw their strength. As much as it is from the magic they are imbued with.
And the darker truths?
All human truths. Vengeance and hatred and glorying in destruction and ambition and greed and all the rest have power. The trick to being truly powerful is that your character be in line with the magic you attempt. Meisters make terrible healers. By the same token, most green mages have too much empathy to make war. The more fully human you are, the greater the diversity of your talents. The more deeply you feel, the more potent your gifts. That, Kyler, is why you called the Qatari. You ached for love. Not only did you want to be loved, as do we all, but you wanted to lavish love on your beloved. You wanted it with your whole being, and you thought it had been denied you forever. Don't be embarrassed. What is more human? And to love and be loved. Between loving and thinking that love was denied you, that tension amplified your power.
That tension's still with me, isn't it? For my love will always be dangerous to those I love.
Clever, isn't it? Your power is tied to your capacity for love. The creator of the Qatari gave you a gift, and built into it the means to keep it forever powerful. No mean trick, that.
A mean trick is exactly what it is. What the hell am I supposed to do?
It's a problem.
But Kylo wasn't listening. He could feel the blood draining out of his face.
Oh my god.
His heart was a thunder in his ears, a rock in his chest. He'd meant he was dangerous to those he loved because his enemies could always threaten him. That wasn't what the wolf meant. He'd been telling Kyler for 5 minutes, and Kyler hadn't understood.
You mean every time I've died, someone I love has died for me?
Of course. That's the price of immortality.
Who?
Sarah Drake died when Roth killed you. Mads Drake died for Scott Rabel's arrow on the trail. Yulana Drake died when the Dark King killed you.
Kyler's knees buckled. He wanted to throw up. He wanted to faint. Anything. Anything to not be. But the moment stretched on, and in the midst of the gale, he found himself thinking, thank God it wasn't Yuli or Aline. And then he cursed himself for the thought. Who was he to weigh one life against another and be thankful that one should die simply because he loved her less? He'd killed them. Count Drake had taken in a foul-mouthed, amoral guttershite and made him part of his family, and Kyler had murdered the Drakes through his carelessness, his arrogance. For every gift Count Drake had given Kyler, he'd repaid him with grief.
And for my blasphemy, when I took money to be killed.
Jorl. No!
He tore his cloak, he pounded the ground with his fists, but there was no pain there, no body to mortify. The tears rolled down his cheeks and there was no comfort.
I didn't know, oh God.
But of course you knew. Tirso left you a letter on his body. He explained everything. He told me he put it in his breast pocket.
I couldn't read it. It was soaked with blood. I couldn't read a damn thing.
Then the last revelation hit him.
Who is it this time? Who dies for me this time?
The wolf was aghast. His lambent eyes and scarred face softened. And he looked fully human for the first time.
Kyler, I'm sorry. I thought you knew all along.
Please, I'll trade back. Let me trade back.
It doesn't work like that. There's nothing either of us can do. This time, it's Aline.